As we've been continuing the series on Ignite, we had just a really heart's desire to continue to do some more activation tonight. So teaching is going to be really short and really get back into really what we finished up last week was as you guys were breaking into threes and fours and beginning to prophesy over each other, like encouragement. Remember, prophecy is to encourage you, to build you up, to call you closer into the Lord and the purpose he has, and to bring comfort. And so we finished up with that. And so in a second, I want you guys, if you see the people that you're with last week, I want you to, we'll break up in a second and have you go and say, hey, this is, you know, the word you gave me last week, this is how it impacted me. Give them some feedback and we'll do a real quick catch up on that. But tonight I felt like we were really supposed to spend some time on talking about words of knowledge. I'm going to hear you say words of knowledge. Now, words of knowledge, we talked about it a little bit last week, is they're different than a prophetic word. Words of knowledge is information that you can't get by any other means, and it's going to be an identifying marker about something. It may be a date of birth for somebody. It might be a social security number. It might be something like this. It identifies a person, and then after that, it helps build up somebody's faith so that they might actually hear and receive from what the Lord is doing. It can come in words of knowledge about what God wants to heal and whatnot. But before we get to that, this afternoon, I had the pleasure of having lunch with a man and his family who are going to be going to on the mission field sometime in the next couple of years, and we're just trading stories. And his story is a little bit different than my background and whatnot. We were talking about how do you step into this move of the Spirit, and how can you discern whether it's God or whether it's the devil or whether it's flesh. I said, that's just an excellent question. I think it's so important for us to be able to do it. And so I felt like the Lord wanted to spend a second before we go into our activations talking about discernment. Let me hear you say discernment. Now, when we talk about discernment a lot of times, it says the discerning of the spirits. And you know what? I forgot to take my gum out. Give me a second. Otherwise, I'm going to be fighting that the whole night, and that's kind of gross. Discerning the spirits would be, okay, is it the devil? Is it God? Is it an angel? Or is it flesh? Like, I'm literally discerning right now there's something happening, whether it be a voice or a manifestation of some sort. And I'm asking the question, which source is bringing this manifestation? You know, when I say manifestation, like something is happening, okay, in the word. And it's so important for us to be able to do that. But discernment is much, much deeper than just discerning the source of it. Like you as in me as human beings, we are hardwired from the moment we come out of the womb to begin to discern. If you've ever heard the term intuition, right? Instinct. All humans have a certain instinct for self-preservation, right? Is the sense of danger. The reason we have a fight or flight response built into our bodies is, oh my gosh, there's a, like, if you think about it, before we lived in houses and had some of the technology that we do, if you had to worry about, if you lived in the woods, if a bear showed up, what are you going to do? Either I've got to fight or I'm flighting. I'm like, I'm running. And if I'm with two people, I just have to run faster than the person I'm with. Okay? And the surge of adrenaline comes in. Why is that? It's because at the fall of man, when Adam and Eve traded in the life of God, remember, before they fell, they didn't have to worry about what they were going to eat, what they were going to wear, right? Their value, they had it intrinsically inside of them. They had the life of God. They knew that they were valuable. And they had this ongoing face-to-face relationship. When they traded that life in for the knowledge of good and evil, it transitioned into, very humanly and soul-wise, instinct. Right? The survival of the fittest, some of those types of things came out of that sin nature. So we can use, and we can call it discernment of the soul. I can walk in, it's not necessarily spiritual discernment. It can be by circumstances. I've been in this circumstance before. I've learned by experience that this is going to happen or this group of people is going to do this. And we could say, well, I'm discerning it. Well, it's probably not a spiritual discernment. You're discerning according to your experience. And that's not bad, okay? When we move into prophetic ministry, one of the things we're wanting to be able to do is not just discern, is God speaking or is the devil speaking in this moment? Okay, but once I discern what the source is, it's an invitation immediately to move into, now, Father, what's your heart? Okay, like if somebody walks in and I can discern they're struggling with, say, an addiction. Okay, well, what have I done? I've just diagnosed a problem. But does that help the person at all? Hey, brother, I just discerned that you're struggling with addiction. He goes, yep. That's all I got for you. I discerned the problem. That's not what we're called to, right? Not just to diagnose a problem, but to release heaven's solution into that situation in a very dynamic way. Like, we have to believe in this thing when we've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the difference between being a thermometer, let me hear you say thermometer, okay, in a thermostat, let me hear you say thermostat, okay? Remember, a thermostat has the capacity to change the atmosphere of a room or switch on the air conditioner. I understand it's the air conditioner doing it, but let's just use that analogy simply, okay? To transition the temperature in our atmosphere inside of a room to a preset, you know, temperature, right? So in the same way, when I'm using my capacity to read in a room, my discernment, so I might walk in and say, oh man, there's a lot of fear in the room right now. Okay, well, what am I supposed to do with that? Father, now, what is your perfect solution for the fear that's in the room? As a thermostat, now I can begin to pray. Lord, I just release your perfect love because it expels all fear. Like, this is not from you. And we have to get to the idea of, like, if it's not from God, it's not good, right? And so I reject anything that's not from God. Any thought, any feeling, anything that is not going to build life inside of me, like, I don't take it on as my value, right? But when I do see something that is bad in that, it may be a gift, or, and as Sean Bowles talks about, it's a conversation starter. In this moment, all right, now I have a place to start with. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What's your solution? How do I walk? Does this make sense? Okay, so when we're looking at this stuff, it's not just about pinpointing the source, but moving me into a place of releasing a solution. Let me read this. According to Sean Bowles, when you discern things, you're not necessarily getting a prophetic message of revelation. It's more of a conversation starter. It's God helping your spirit man. Let me hear you say spirit man. Use your spiritual eyes and feelings to know and glimpse the world around you. Okay? Can we all agree that that's a very helpful thing to have? Okay? In other words, I'm not just walking into a room blind. All the senses, like, totally numb to anything that's going on in the room. And what I would say is, if you've ever felt like that, that's not normal from God. There's sometimes I've worked with people who, specifically in the area, the people that are knowers. I mean, sorry, not knowers, feelers. Like, they'll walk in a room, and like their way of hardwiring of hearing of what's happening is they'll walk in a room, and somebody's dealing with depression, it feels like their depression. Or somebody's dealing with this incredible joy, it feels like their joy. Like they're just, their discernment there is just picking up on everything that's in the atmosphere. And learning how to distinguish what's me and what's not me is really, really key and important. And a lot of times what's happened is the enemy from an early age will try to overwhelm especially kids that are feelers. So why? They shut down that feeler or that, you know, that knower in it. Why? Because it's bad. It gave me nightmares. It scared me. All this stuff. Instead of realizing, no, it's a gift of God to be able to identify where the enemy is trying to attack people so I can partner with heaven to release a solution. Does that make sense? So whether you're a seer where you've been overwhelmed with visual images, you're a feeler where it's like you can feel the weight of the stuff, or you're a knower like, oh my gosh, I just know somebody's going to die. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that, that's just a sermon. It's not a feeling. I just know so-and-so's going to die right now. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I can partner with fear in that. Or I could go, something's going on right now. I need to pray right now. Like, a lot of intercessors have had to learn in that process of, like, God wakes me up in the middle of the night with a dream or feeling or something like that, going, hey, pray for your brother who's overseas right now in the middle. I don't know what's going on, but God, I partner with dot, the dot, the dot. Because I've learned in this process to go, what's me, what's mine, and what is not mine. And so when the Lord brings me that discernment or that insight into what's happening in the world around me, I now know how to partner with what's happening. So in the prophetic ministry, this is why it's important. You might walk up to somebody and discern what's going on inside their life. That's not prophecy. And you might even begin to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, is this going on or something going on? I'm sensing, I'm feeling that something's going on in your life. And the answer is, yeah, that's not prophecy yet. It's just discernment of situation that's going on. Prophecy now becomes, so as I partner with heaven, how then do I begin to release into the atmosphere something that's going to encourage them, something that's going to call them closer, exhorts them, calls them into a place closer to God. Also, exhortation can be to a higher place. So there's a difference between building somebody up, like God loves you, you're powerful, you're amazing. That's building somebody up. Exhortation is a little bit different. It is God's calling you to a higher place. Because you're powerful in him, you know, it's time to take that step and like I'm drawing him into a higher place of holiness. Does that make sense? Or comfort, like, man, somebody, you're just dealing with this darkness. How can I comfort right now in the middle of the situation, release the comfort of heaven into that? And in my words, I begin to prophesy solution. It releases grace in order for them to be able to come underneath the influence of heaven, okay? So discernment is incredibly important. I'll say this too, in spiritual discernment of atmospheres, like I was having a conversation with somebody who was saying, how do you know when somebody is in a church meeting and they're actually a plant from the enemy? Like they're on assignment from the enemy. And I gave them an exact example. One time has been, I think it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, had somebody came in and they looked from the outside very like they talked the talk, they had the language and stuff like that, but the discernment was going off, like ding, 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 red flag, you know. And I've learned to listen. There's some specific people in our congregation who, like, their gift of discernment is off the charts on the demonic activity and stuff. And so I've learned also to trust and check in with people. Are you picking up on something right now? But this one, I didn't need anybody to confirm. I knew it. And so there were, during worship time, they were off in a corner. I'm not going to point where. And they were, and so it would look like they were engaged with it, but immediately I could see words that were coming out of their mouth that would look like death, like a green gas, and it was like releasing. I'm like, this is a witch. Right away, I just knew in my spirit, this is a witch on assignment to speak incantations in there and stuff like that. So afterwards, and of course, I just begin to counter, like, well, this is my territory. Like Joshua, everywhere you step foot is land and territory. I'm not afraid of that, right? So even if you come in with assignment, your authority doesn't trump my authority in Christ. He who's in me is stronger than he's in the world, right? So I don't operate in fear on that. So I just say, no, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every one of those words, all the curses, all this stuff. Okay, it's cleaned by the blood of Jesus now. Let me go deal with the person. And I walked up and began to ask them questions. Say, hey, glad you're here. Tell me your story. And they started to tell, you know, all this and giving me religious terms. I said, that's not who you are. And they paused. I said, I know who you are. And I know why you're here. And they just kind of looked, and you kind of see the demonic stuff on behind. I said, you don't have any authority here. Now, if you, and I said, I want to talk to, and I remember the name of the person. I remember asking, what's your name? So I'm going to speak to the name of the person. And then I could kind of hear the demon was trying to talk back. I said, no, I'm going to talk to so-and-so. Do you want to be free of this in Jesus' name? Because you can be free. And the answer was no. I said, okay, well, you're free to leave right now and walk out that back door. And they turned around and left. And they confirmed too, and it says, yes, I'm part of a covenant and I'm, stuff like that, okay? Discernment is very important, okay? When we pick up on things that would be scary, can we all agree that potentially that could be scary, right? That's not nice stuff, okay? But our fat battle's not against flesh and blood, right? It's in the darkness, but I have the chief spirit of all spirits, the Holy Spirit, okay? He's in me. He's the same spirit that rose Christ from the grave. What do I have to be afraid of? Like, perfect love expels all fear, right? So I have authority. You have authority. Everywhere you go, you have this authority to partner with heaven to release the goodness of God. So discernment is not just for moments like that. It also is being able to now, oh, conversation starter. How do I begin to release and partner with heaven? Let me read you what I put in here. Discernment's often like diagnosing or pinpointing the problem. If I stay there, my prayer or word becomes problem-focused, okay? So discernment would be like, oh, somebody walks in like it's a doctor. I'm diagnosing you with cancer, okay? Well, great. So all my focus could be about the problem unless I go, well, okay, well, so what solutions do I have from heaven? Now I become solution-focused of what I'm releasing into it. With love as my highest goal, I should move into discerning, let me hear you say discerning, the Father's intended solution, which will include grace or empowerment for the word. Okay? So again, whether it's instinctual because you've been in environments, you've got some experience, you've got some street smarts, you get some of those stuff on there, you've learned to read a room, you've learned to read people, like that's all part of it. How do I transition from that into discerning the Father's heart. Because what did Jesus say? I only do what I see who do? The Father. And I only say what? What the Father says. Okay? That is discernment from what he's saying, and then I begin to release that and partner with it. So now when we talk about prophecy, we talk about words of wisdom, talk about words of knowledge tonight. It's specifically so we can pinpoint something that needs a solution of heaven into it. Okay? Let me give you another, this one we're going to do an activation. Graham Cook says this, who, while walking in the prophetic and when meeting people, first sees or senses the negative people are dealing with. If you do, it's because God is trusting you with his heart and asking you to speak the opposite. He wants to call the gold out of them. Okay? So remember, it goes back to a couple weeks ago. Love's my highest goal. What's the gold? What's the gold? What's the gold? I see the dirt. It's not easy to discern dirt. But I'm looking for Father's heart is, but what's the gold? What's the solution? How do I draw that outside of them? Does that make sense? Okay. So encourage you to really engage with that. Now, before we break into our groups real quick, because I want to go through another round of some prophetic ministry real quick, and then we're going to talk about words of knowledge. Let me talk to you about the responsibility of the giver of the word. Accountability. Let me hear you say accountability. And so we really do believe that it's important for you to track your success and your failure with your prophetic words. It says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the spirit of the prophet, okay? If love is my highest goal, then my goal is not to walk into a room and go ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta with a bunch of words and then walk away and say, okay, they'll fall wherever they fall and I'm all good now, okay? No, I have a responsibility. Hey, Gordon, how did that hit you? How did that touch you? Did that make sense? Did it land? Did it make, you know, oh, gosh, it was totally off base. Did it bring you fear? Like, it's important to make this relational. One of the biggest things that's happened in the prophetic ministry became from, if it was just the man on the platform, and that man on the platform was operating from an Old Testament prophetic mindset, which it was judgment and condemnation and fear, fire and brimstone, then there's a lot of people that you're going to encounter who are not, they're scared of the prophetic because their version of the prophetic is something that it was scary, right? So I have a responsibility to be authentic and to present to them an authentic version of Jesus as much as is possible in the purity of my heart, because love is my highest goal. And so what I want you to realize as you're walking these things through, I'm going to give you a handout here in a second. Two things on this. And I was reading through something that Sean Bowles, for those who don't know who Sean Bowles is, he was the co-founder of Expression 58 Church in Los Angeles and Hollywood. And they were given a mandate to go and really reach Hollywood with the gospel. And they've seen that take place over the last several years of God's really done it. But he also operates in a high level of the prophetic ministry, but specifically words of knowledge. Like he'll stand before a crowd and like God, he'll pick out the phone number, address, numbers, like all kinds of stuff. And in fact, Papa Jack will be here in a couple weeks. And he was in a place and he began to say, hey, Jack, does such and such make sense? He goes, oh, it's my old address. Well, so what did the word of knowledge do? God's speaking. It picks up my radar's up. What is God going to say, right? It opens up, and then he gave him a prophetic word. Well, Sean came out of the 90s in Kansas City when there was a strong prophetic movement that was taking place. And it was kind of like an older, some good, really good things that happened at IHOP. And Mike Bickle was stewarding well what God was doing there. And Sean was there in the early days with that. And one day, Mike came to Sean and says, hey, Sean, because he was known to have very good accuracy with his words. He says, do you know how often your words are correct? And he goes, well, we get some feedback on it. He says, no, if you were able to physically track every word, is that on your heart? Is that on your mind? He goes, well, I never thought it that way. And he says, I want you to begin to steward well your gifts. Like the words you get out. So get some feedback and follow up with it. Because he says, I sense that there's going to be some people, the word's going to land right away and they go, yes, I'm encouraged and I know it was from God. He says, but there's going to be a certain percentage of people where that word does not come to pass, maybe ever or in a timeline, and they get discouraged with God. They start to think, well, God doesn't like me. He forgot about me. Maybe I'm bad. Maybe I did something wrong. That's why this word hasn't come through. And so that's their relationship with Jesus. As the prophetic minister who's got this insight, if you follow up with them and you find out the word's not going, you can say, hey, I'm still growing in God. So if it did not land, God loves you. Like, let me affirm to you that love's our highest goal. God loves you. Sometimes I miss it, but God is for you, okay? And so Sean talked about, he began to, as often they recorded the words, he would go back and re-listen to it. He encouraged people, hey, afterwards, if you received a word, give me your email or your number so I can follow up with you in the next couple weeks to see how the word landed. So he said after a couple year period of doing this, began to see a pattern and found there was about 10% of people who walked away discouraged, or like within a couple weeks or a month, they were discouraged because the word hadn't come to pass or whatnot. And they would have been disappointed with God or taken a lie bet. But because Sean contacted them, they walked away going, oh, but God still loves me, right? So this is my encouragement to you, relational responsibility. We're in covenant. We're in community. I talked to you a couple weeks about us being a prophetic community, which means we have the responsibility of taking care of each other's hearts, okay? Sometimes when we're out there and about in the street and we give somebody a prophetic word, it may feel weird or you might not be able to get their phone number or back to check. So it may not always be possible, but as much as it's possible, follow up. And he said something interesting. He said they went back and talked to some of the other bigger prophetic leaders at the time that had been doing it for 10, 15 years, and they didn't want to institute it into their meetings at all. And the reason being is, like, I'm the prophet. They're responsible for the words. It's like, well, no, they're responsible to steward the words, but I'm responsible with what comes out of my mouth and what I'm partnering with. Does that make sense? So relationally, it's going to build up the kingdom, okay? So discernment, accountability is important. Before you leave here, there's two things I'm going to give you. One is, and I just, it'd be encouragement, this will be what you're about to do in your group, a prophetic feedback form. It says, this form is for anyone who participated in receiving ministry from, you know, whoever you are, or a ministry team. It will help us to continue our training and improve relationship with those we minister. Be as honest as possible. We want to hear the praise report and learn about areas we need to improve in. If you don't have time to go into detail, please answer yes or no. Use the back of the form if you need. So here's the questions on here. Do you remember the name of the person who ministered to you? What was your overall experience with this prayer appointment? Were there any trackable details that are happening in your life right now? If so, can you share? Was there anything said that wasn't encouraging or helpful? How satisfied were you with the ministry you received? Out of 100%, how much did the words relate to you? What could we change about the experience that would make it more helpful? And can we contact you about this form, right? So one of the things we're doing in this place is we're putting the onus back into us together stewarding the words that are released. There's also a more simple form, too, that you get. It's a prophetic feedback sheet that would be more for specifically you. So it's got the name of the person being ministered to, their email, their date is something you could give to them. And it's got trackable prophetic points, like include dates, specific future information, specific names, details, opportunities you prophesied about. And then it's got date where you can contact him or track the word by, and then feedback after you received finished tracking. And it says, include how accurate on a scale from 1 to 100 he felt the word was. Was it 60% or 100%? Okay. So that's not something we should ever be afraid of, getting that feedback and that information is. Because when we do it, like now I'm constantly positioning myself to steward well the voice of God and steward well the people in the life around me. Does that make sense? So in this now, we're going to ensure as much as possible a community that honors people first and God in that, and what he's saying to them. Does that make sense? Okay. So here's what I do. I want you to look around the room. If you were here last week, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay. Do you see the people that you were with in your groups? Yes, no? Okay. Why don't y'all go ahead and get together real quick. And then here's what I've got instructions for the rest of the folks in here. Okay, so as they're doing that, if you weren't here last week, it's totally cool. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to get with 2 to 3 people, just because of time-wise, I want to give just a few minutes to do this. We'll say 3 people because there's accountability in that number. And here's what I want you to do. You're going to take turns being in the hot seat, okay, where the other 2 people are going to prophesy over you, meaning that this, let's just strip away the fear of it. What would God want to say to this person that would encourage them, build them up, bring them closer, or comfort them? Okay? It doesn't need to go into, man, I just think right now that you're dealing with this, this, and this, and this. No, no, no. If you're discerning something, how do you turn your discernment into the goodness of God that releases an encouraging word to that person specifically, okay? And they're going to be short words, okay? And then you're going to give some quick feedback to each other. Hey, yes, it landed. It doesn't land, right? I feel encouraged by that. Or give a feedback. Now that, you know, this is how it made me feel. Give some feedback in the time that you've got, okay? So we're going to take 10 minutes specifically to do this, okay? And so if you guys just get in groups of three, right? You can go four. It's fine. You guys are there. Yeah. The reason I did three is I know in 10 minutes everybody can get, you know, go through it quickly, okay? Share each other's names real quick. All right, go ahead and come to a place where you can close and stay in your groups. One of the important things to do is also when you're prophesying, how now do I make a declaration? How do I partner with heaven over that person? So if I've got an area of insight, it's about making declarations. So Lord, say you feel like God's calling them into a place of increased victory. So, okay, Lord, I just declare right now that they're moving into a place of increased victory. I just give them, you know, release your grace upon them. Like, begin to partner, make these declarations. Remember, we're not asking pleading prayers. It's not about begging God for anything. It's about partnering with what he's already done and then release the solution into the earth. So here's what I'm going to do, because you guys are going to stay in your groups and you're going to go back into words of knowledge in a second, okay? And I prayed about doing the words of knowledge first, but he said to do this first so we can have some relatable, you can feel a little bit more comfortable with each other, okay? But let's talk about words of knowledge for a second, all right? Words of knowledge help people feel known by God so they will believe more deeply in the truth. A word of knowledge usually comes right before a prophecy, a healing, or a miracle in order to bring faith for its release, okay? So again, remember, word of knowledge is about increasing faith into the person so they can come into alignment with what God wants to do. I think I gave the illustration last week talking about word of knowledge when it comes to healing, of like literally feeling a pain in your body that's not typical to you, or hearing, you know, a part of the body or whatnot. And then when it's released into the atmosphere, people go, gosh, I've been dealing with a knee issue. I've been dealing with a back issue. I've been dealing with pancreas, you know, or something like this. You know, I that's my word. They stand up and it increases their faith in order to be able to receive what God is declaring and doing in that room. Now, if they don't receive the healing, remember one of the things we're talking, and we'll talk about this next week when it comes to healing and miracles. We don't have the room, because love is our highest goal, to say, well, that must be because they don't have enough faith, or to begin and get into the blame game, okay? We can ask God for more understanding, more insight into something, but it's not about like, well, if you just had more faith, then you would be healed already, okay? Like, love is our highest goal built into it. Same thing with the prophetic word. Well, if you just had more faith, then that word have come to pass already. Well, who does that sound like? What is it called? The devil, the accuser of the brethren. Right, so we're not given the ministry of accusation, but the ministry of reconciliation, that's demonstrated through the goodness of God. Right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read to you straight out of Sean's workbook, because I thought I can't word it any better than he already has, and it would be silly to do it, and it's pretty short. So how can you practice words of knowledge and take great faith risks? You're going to have to be open to failure. Just like I share in Translating God, which is the book we're talking about, I've given words of knowledge that were wrong but still met the goal of loving the person, and I had great fruit in the interaction. So remember, it's not about information, right? It's about love, okay? Why is the reason I'm asking for information? So I can connect them with the love of the Father in a very tangible way, right? So, but practically, how do we develop receiving words of knowledge? So there's three specific ways he has in there. The first one would be word association. Let me hear you say word association. So recognize when you see someone and he reminds you of a friend or family member. Ask him questions that relate to this known person. For example, connect him with a specific name or personality trait you're relating to. Many of the words of knowledge I get come in the form of seeing someone I already know and then finding out how it relates to those I'm ministering to. I ask, and this is funny because you'll see why in a second, is your name Cindy? Because a person reminds me of my sister Cindy. Many times it is, but sometimes it not be something about Cindy. Do you play guitar? I will ask. because Cindy does, and sure enough, I found out that this person does too. Once you start to flow in this word association, you begin to grow in translating what you're seeing. I think God does it this way because it causes our heartstrings to be pulled when someone reminds us of someone else we know and love in a divine way. Okay? So here's the thing. How am I discerning the voice of God? So often we dismiss things that he's dropping into our mind and into our spirit of, oh, that's just me. Well, what if it's not? Like, what if God's remind you that's the person that you know? And then in that moment, you go, God, what do you want to say about that person? And all of a sudden, you feel like you're encouraging the person you know, right? It connects your heart with love, and you're invested in it a little bit differently than you would otherwise. So word association, you know, guitars or things like that. Number two would be puns. Let me hear you say puns. I'm just going to read what he says. He says, I hate puns, but my dad loves them. And apparently it's part of our Father in Heaven's humor too. I remember getting a picture of a young man in a meeting who was chopping trees all the way to a stump. I said this out loud and everyone laughed because his last name just so happened to be Stump. Matching impressions you get with a faith expectation that it actually has something to do with the person's real life is important. Many times we get obscure revelation that's not relatable, and we have to interpret it. When you get words of knowledge through pictures, you're getting a direct correlation that the person can't miss, and nor can you. Okay, so if you, I told you a second ago about when that one woman was doing it, I saw a picture of the green gas coming out, okay? Was it actually coming out of her mouth? No, I just saw a picture, right? That was an example of that. So realize you can see into the spirit. Your spirit man, remember, you are spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit man is the one that connects with the Holy Spirit, and your spirit is the what is perfect, okay? This is a longer teaching, but there's three separate places in Scripture. It says, you've been saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. Okay, so what has the, I've been saved, my spirit has been made whole because it's joined with his spirit. I'm a brand new creation. The I'm being saved means daily the experience of my soul is coming into alignment with the sanctification process, the way I think, the way I feel is being saved. It's coming into alignment with what salvation looks like. Okay, the you will be saved is that final day, either when I die and I get to heaven or Jesus comes back and I get my glorified body. In that body, I get the complete fullness of salvation, meaning there's no more brokenness, there's no more disease, there's none of that junk. Like I'm made perfect in that day. Does that make sense? Okay, so when it says, talks about your spirit man, you can have confidence that my spirit man's perfect. Like I was talking to somebody earlier, and I said, because they were dealing with some seizures. I said, do you realize that your spirit man doesn't have seizures? And they stopped and go, well, I never thought about that way. I said, your body does. That's what you're dealing with. That's a real issue in the world, but your spirit man doesn't. So how can we activate your spirit man in concordance with the Holy Spirit in such a way that it impacts your soul and your body and brings it into alignment, okay? When we're talking about words of knowledge, in the same way, what am I doing? I'm activating my spirit man. God, what are you saying? What are you showing? And then that's when he brings in this picture. Now I can translate it with my soul, like going, oh, well, I see Bobby and this, and it begins to flow. And finally, I'll just say it this way, giving an illustration. I gave this illustration to somebody today, and I think it works, so you can tell me if it does. But a lot of times, like on the shirt, there's a little string. You can't see it, but there's this little string right here, okay? And when I'm getting a word of knowledge or a prophetic word for somebody, a lot of times, all I'm initially seeing is that little string. If by faith I begin to pull on the string, what happens? All of a sudden, I get the whole shirt that comes out. As I keep pulling on that string by faith, all of a sudden, I'm going like, how did I know that? Right? Well, it's because by faith, I'm activating my spirit man and I'm releasing it. Okay. That's what it's like. Sometimes you might get one word and you're going, and that happened this last weekend. I gave somebody a word and I'm like, I have no idea what this means, but I know it's impacting you. I don't have anything more. And I don't feel like I need to speak into it more than the word of knowledge that just came. Do you know what I'm saying on that? So word association, puns. So I see somebody chopping tree. I see somebody fishing. Chris and Cindy were in a meeting where Sean Bowles was at. And the very last, he's like, okay, guys, I bless you. Oh, wait a minute. I got one more word. I wrote it down in the plane, pulls it out. And he says, is there a Christopher and Chris and a Cynthia here? And she goes, yeah, it's us. And he started saying, I see y'all have a bunch of hatchlings. Well, the last name's Hatcher. OK, Okay, that's a pun, right? It's a word picture that goes along with it. Okay, so my point is don't dismiss it. All right, that'd be too easy. Finally would be direct words. Let me hear you say direct words. So sometimes these come through thoughts projected from God's spirit to yours, and they feel like they appear in your head. Other times they're just a thought that pops up in your heart or your mind. Sometimes you will hear the Lord's voice. I remember one time hearing, "This is my son. He's like Joshua in the Bible." But when I said this, the young man's name was Joshua, okay? I had that example just earlier on this week. I just heard a city's name drop in my thin, and I says, "Does this city make any sense to you?" And it's like, yes, okay? It wasn't a pun. It wasn't a word association. It was a direct word that just dropped in. I heard it, and I said, "Does this make sense?" Okay? So in that same way, it might be I hear 21 or 314.85, right? Or maybe longer, or Bluebird. Or street, you know, it's going to be very specific information. And so remember, we're talking about take a risk. If you go and they go, "That makes nothing to me at all," okay, we're going to clap. In fact, I want y'all to do that in your groups in a second. When you ask for a word of knowledge in this activation, okay, and in fact, Cindy, I want you to give, if you don't mind, giving two testimonies, if you get two testimonies about words of knowledge, okay, I want y'all to hear this. Let this, remember, a word of knowledge or a testimony will build up your faith that you can step into this. And when you take risk, and if they go, "Nope, means nothing to me," then the other people in the group, I want y'all to start clapping and going, "You're amazing." Why? You failed, but you took a risk. And that took faith. Does that make sense? I can promise you, as you get clapped for and celebrated for taking a risk, all of a sudden your confidence is going to grow. Like, what do I have to fear? So I missed it. No big deal. I know in part and I prophesy in part, right? You know, now I like, hey, this is kind of fun. God, let's get the right next one right. You know, and I press in deeper.
So just a couple testimonies?
Yeah.
Okay. So the couple of ones that come to my mind, one of them is when I was leading worship one time at a previous church, and I saw a group of college kids come in and sit in the back, and as we were leading worship, the Lord just will highlight people, right? And so he just highlighted this kid that I didn't know, but I knew one of the other college students that was with him. And the picture that I saw was him, like, rock climbing or something, like, you know. And I'd been to Enchanted Rock, if anybody's ever been to Enchanted Rock, rock climbing and rappelling or whatever. So I just saw him rock climbing up this mountain, and it was just, like, just a flash, but I saw it really clearly. And so afterwards, I went down and I just asked him, I said, just getting to know him or whatever, and I said, "So do you do any rock climbing or something?" And like his eyes just went, "I just went rock climbing yesterday," you know, kind of thing. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I'm just waiting, all right, Jesus, what else? Because I didn't have anything else with that. Like, all I had was the picture. I'm like, okay, cool, I guess I got it right, you know. But then came the prophetic word. Sometimes it will lead to a prophetic word. And so as I was like, oh, okay, then I got the prophetic word that I just saw him, that he was climbing and climbing this mountain. I was getting frustrated, but he will get to the top, so that he'll then, once he reaches the top, he'll be able to have clearer vision about where he's headed next. And he began to weep because he basically said, even though he just went rock climbing in the natural yesterday, a lot of what was stirring up in him was he was trying to stride to figure out about what his major was going to be. Like, you know, he's in college and he's like, I think a sophomore or junior, and he's like, you know, feeling like he doesn't really know his direction. And so that was part of actually what was going on inside of him when he was doing the rock climbing. So whatever the conversation he was having with Jesus, that was just confirmation. And remember, a lot of times in prophetic words anyway, it's confirmation of what God's already doing so that you know you're actually hearing him. You know, so that was a small one. When I was in a ministry school, I'm going to do one short one and then another one. When I was in the ministry school and we were practicing this, we used to do like, okay, 30 seconds, that's all you got. Go. Ask Jesus, 30 seconds, stop. Now tell the other person what they had for breakfast. You know, like that was it. Like it just had to be like off the top of your head, you know, so that you won't over-spiritualize it or overthink it or whatever. Like with childlike faith, we just start to say stuff. Well, I immediately got a picture of, and I don't eat McDonald's really. I mean, I have before, but I really don't like McDonald's. But I saw the McDonald's large French fry, right? Like with the big red thing with the stripes and or whatever. And the yellow and red stripes are the old box, maybe. I don't know. They don't do those boxes anymore. But anyway, that's what I saw. So I knew it was McDonald's French fries. And the class starts like at 5:30. And so the word of knowledge was going to be what they had for dinner. And so I immediately saw that. And in my example, as I was teaching it, that picture came to my mind, and I said, so somebody here had McDonald's French fries for dinner before they came to class, and I immediately asked the Lord in my spirit who it was, and I knew that it was this one girl. Now, I actually wasn't brave enough to say it out loud, but I was like, I think it's her, but I didn't say that part. I just said the McDonald's French fries or whatever, but her face went, oh, you know, like, that was me, and I was like, okay. I was like, I totally not lying. I should have said it out loud, but I didn't. I knew it was you. Like, for whatever reason, just had an impression that it would be her. Well, who cares about someone eating French fries, right, for dinner? Like, okay, Jesus, why are you going to tell me that? And then I just laughed inside because what I heard, literally what I heard him say was, I want to deep fry her in oil. And so I started laughing. I was like, Jesus wants to deep fry you in oil. And then she began not just laughing, but then crying at the same time, because we had a friend who does this really amazing oil ceremony where she takes the shofar, like she takes a particular shofar and like a cup or two of olive oil and pours it into the shofar. And then she'll blow it, and then she'll pull the oil, and then she pours the oil, you know, like how the oil ran down Aaron's beard, that whole thing. She does this whole anointing ceremony with people, and she pours it on their head, and it drips down. You just get drenched with all this oil and stuff. It's just this smearing ceremony. And she was about to do it this next week. And so that's what she's like, deep frying in oil. Like, that was the picture that came to her mind as a confirmation of that's what she needed to do. Now, the last story I'm going to tell you, I've shared this story maybe before in here. Some of you guys are new. But when I was on a trip with Global Awakening with Randy, Clark, you're taught on the team, you know, you're just supposed to give words of knowledge for physical healing, right? And so the mic gets passed around just like that, like really quick, like we're just going down. You're just going to say what it is, and that's it, like knee pain, you know, and that's like back pain or, you know, an ache, you know, whatever it is. Like, you're just supposed to say the word of knowledge for the physical thing so that whoever has it in the room will stand up, and then we'll pray corporately, and then at the end of the service, you come up to whoever it is in the line and you get prayed for, right, so that we go after healing. Well, right before we did that, Randy will often pray with the team before we go out and do that, right, and pray over us. And so when he did, and I don't really share this very often, this part of it, but it's pertinent to the story, and that is that when he went through praying for everybody, he paused at me, and he got a word of knowledge about my heart seeking after the prophetic. And he stopped and said, and for this one, Lord, increase in impartation of the prophetic gift, because she's been hungering for it. So, of course, I'm weeping and on the floor, right? But it impacted me so much that when the microphone came time for me to give the word of knowledge, he gave me some other pictures I didn't understand, and I would not have shared them because I'm a rule follower, and that's not what we were supposed to be doing at that moment. We were supposed to just be doing physical, right, words of knowledge. So I got a physical. I could feel pain in my ear, and I could feel like almost like there would be some kind of, thing in the ear, pipe, cord, tube, thank you, tube. I'm like, it's not a pipe, what is it? Tube, the tube in the ear, you know, like inner tube, you know, when you have hearing stuff. So anyway, I kept feeling this tube in the ear or whatever. I was like, there's something about that. So I was like, bam, I've got the word of knowledge already, right? So I was just asking for more, but then boom, here came two pictures just like that, real quick. Just boom and boom. I saw a picture, and I'm in Thailand, by the way, and we're in a group of other pastors and leaders, the missionaries and different, there's a group of probably about 500 or so of those people. And so they're all, I know that they're all pastors and leaders, but what I saw was a flash of bamboo and a kangaroo. And I thought, that's just weird, Jesus. I don't understand. Okay, but when the microphone came, I knew I was just going to say the ear thing, but before I could let go of the microphone, I could feel the Lord say to release that. And because of what he did just a few minutes before, I felt like I had to, right? Like, in order to activate what was just imparted. So I asked permission. They said, yes, go ahead. I said, I have some weird. Is that okay? Because sometimes we talk about you get weird stuff every now and then, and you just put out the weird. So I said, okay, so I have bamboo, and I have a kangaroo. Does that make sense to anybody? And they're like, crickets, nothing, right? And I said, okay, so I don't know When I think of bamboo, here's my language. This is why I like to give revelation that way, okay? Is to tell you what I got first, and then I'll give you my interpretation. So my interpretation was, when I think of bamboo, I think of pandas and bamboo, which makes me think of China. So anyone here from China, a few people raise their hands that they are like born in China or whatever, and there's a lot of Chinese in Thailand. And I said, but when I think of kangaroos, I think of Australia. And so anyone here from Australia, and there's a couple that raise their hand, I was like, okay, but kangaroos and bamboo don't go together to me. Like, kangaroos don't eat bamboo. Koalas eat bamboo, but koalas are Australia. And so I don't know. If that makes sense to anybody, nobody else raised their hand. So I'm like, all right, fail, you know, pass the mic. So then afterwards, of course, this lady comes up to me. She goes, she's Thai, but she's a Chinese Thai. And she says, I don't know if this is for me or not, but I don't have any ear things, but I'm dealing with a visa situation with my husband, who's from Australia. I'm Chinese Thai, and we're dealing with this visa situation where he had to go back overseas. So can you just pray? So I'm like, sure. I pray. She's on the floor. And so 45 minutes later or so, she comes back off the floor weeping, and she says, oh my gosh, God just reminded me our wedding invitations had bamboo and a koala and a panda on the other side. I was like, okay, I don't know. I don't have any other answers for that, right? And then as we were leaving, a lady stopped me and she says, okay, I feel like I have to stop you, but I don't know if it was me or not, but I'm Australian, I'm a missionary, and we just adopted these two Chinese boys. And they have inner ear issues where they're having trouble like with swimmer's ear and not being able to hear and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that might be you, you know? And so I prayed for her and she's out, but then we had to leave. So like, I have no knowledge of anything else that happened, right? I'm just telling you exactly what I know to be true. I just know there was enough weird that God was in it. And had I not said it or even been impacted enough by the word that was given in the impartation and had the faith to go ahead and be bold enough to say it, even though it didn't feel like it was going to land anywhere, it led to whatever. And I can't even tell you what it led to necessarily. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have no idea. There's no way for me to verify the healing or the visa or anything else. I just know when you get a picture, when you get a thought or a word, you just never know if you don't put it out there. And that's why we always tell people you have to take the risk. You know, John Wimber said risk is faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And that why, even though it feels really foolish, we'll put out a word of knowledge or a picture or a sound or whatever it is, even if it doesn't feel real spiritual or whatever, because sometimes that's the baby step we've got to go to get to the next thing. Does that make sense? Yeah? Any questions? Okay, so those are I've got more, but I think that's good enough. I think it fits the point, right?
And I just, the scripture that says he will use the foolishness to confound the wise. And I think the reason that's important is when I think I'm wise in my own eyes or own ears, I've already cut myself off from receiving more revelation from him, right? But when I'm willing to be made a fool of for Christ, and sometimes we think that has to do in other context for it, but it may be as simple as this, like, hey, kangaroo and, you know, bamboo, does that make sense to anybody? And people like crickets, right? All right, well, I'm willing to be made a fool of for Christ, right? If it doesn't land, it doesn't land. If not, but at least I'm walking in that faith. And that's what we want you guys to do and practice in. And this is a safe place to do that, right? Like, there's a no judgment zone in this place. We want you to judge the words, but not like the person's like, hey, we're going to cheer you on and whatnot too. So we've got about 5 to 10 minutes. Here's what I want you to do. And Cindy, in fact, she just used the illustration I was going to go after. Would be specifically though, in your groups, I want you to spend just 1 minute, okay? And so one of you time, like put on your phone or whatnot, and those pieces of paper that I handed out to you, okay? Like there's a prophetic feedback form and the prophetic feedback sheet or whatever. On the back of it, what I want you to do is y'all, there's three of you in the group, or if there's four, I want you to pick one person, right? And so every person is being prayed for in terms of the get the words of knowledge, right? So y'all are being targeted. And I want you to take 1 minute and just whatever, just ask the Lord for a word of knowledge about that person. So like say Josh is my guy or whatever. So, okay, Lord, in the next minute, what's coming to mind? And I'm going to write down four, and I'm going to write down this, and I'm going to write down this, whatever's coming down, and I'll go through it. At the end of the minute, you say stop, and then you go. Okay, so hey, Josh, I got this, this, and this. And then as you're given the word, write notes by it. Like they say, yes, that makes sense, or no, it doesn't. You can put a check, you can put a mark, whatever it may be. And then I want you to see how many did you get right? If you get none of them right, that's okay, right? I want to celebrate the fact that you guys are taking a risk. And so literally, it may seem foolish in here, but I want the other three people, after they're done, whether they got one right, no right, or all of them right, I want you to stand up and I want you to clap for the other person, okay? And everybody's going to be doing it in this room, so you don't have to worry about being the only one that's up there standing and doing something goofy, okay? Because it's not goofy. Like, we're celebrating Jesus taking that risk. Does that make sense? Any questions before we launch into this? Yes, Dorothy. Yeah. So let them get the feedback after they go through. Okay, so, hey, Dorothy, I got four. Does that land? Yes, no. Check, check, check. Go all down, no matter how many you got. And then afterwards, all the rest of you guys stand up and applaud that person, okay? And I don't want the polite golf clap leader, please. Like, celebrate it as if it's your four-year-old's birthday. 1 minute. No, yeah, so you're going to take 1 minute, and you're just going to write down, okay, at the end of that minute, then you begin to share with each other. Does that make sense? Okay. If you get a prophetic word like Cindy said, then you can release that as well. Okay, go for it.